And a warm welcome to the Business Bunker with me, Jules Serkin. You'll find me on Twitter at Jules Serkin. Please use the hashtag BBunker. And we have a little empty chair, listener, quite a big empty chair, actually, to fill, as the lovely Paul Andrews, who you'll find on at VanillaWeb. Give him a little tweet using the BBunker hashtag. He's lounging, listener. He's lounging at home. And, yeah, he's having a little sabbatical. I expect he's got a mocktail. He's a man that likes a mocktail, maybe a little ginger beer, low sugar or probably no sugar, or a black coffee. He won't be snaffling any biscuits because he's on a regime, I do believe. But we do miss him, and we have a stonking show for you. First of all, a big thank you to DG East, who is our sponsor for the week, and a big thank you to them. They're an independent new and used vehicle supplier and services, and they supply car and light commercial vehicles utilizing a majority of the UK-based leasing operator services. I'm going to chat to them, actually, because my new husband and I, the long-suffering at G Serkin, who's at home with the rescue greyhound, probably giving him a little chew at the moment. We've been chatting about getting an electric car, but we don't know what to do. So we're going to give them a little chat, DG East, and find out what we should be doing. Because some of them are self-charging and some of them are not. And then you've got to have a little plug-in, and then can you go enough miles to do a plug-in? You'll find them on www.dgeast.co.uk. Have a look there and see what they can do for you. In the studio, we're all women. We are all women. There's four of us. There's no testosterone at all in the studio. We've got my old mate, Julie Anderson, the gorgeous of At Wrap Interiors. Hello.
Hello.
And we were just saying we haven't seen, I can't believe you've not been to this no, studio.
Must be about 5 years at least, I reckon. I haven't seen you before.
Absolutely amazing. I can't believe it. And the last time I saw you was at a Slopoff in Faversham, I think.
Yes.
I think that was the right time. A good time was had by all.
Yeah.
And the long-suffering Rick Anderson is there. We're going to be talking to Julie later about work. Wrap Interiors, as you know or may not know, if you look on their Twitter, they are suppliers of office interiors. They do beautiful, beautiful interior work. So she'll be telling us what's happening in the world of business and sort of a little roundup as we edge towards the end of the year. And we'll be finding out if Rick has got his hammer out and what he's doing. I'd be interested to see in this house building that they're doing. And then we have flanking Julie, we have Pamela Angeli of at Angeli Digital M. You'll find her. That's A-N-G-E-L-Y, Digital M for mother. And she's going to be, well, the girls are all helping out because normally, of course, I'm the co-producer, co-presenter. And they're going to be reading stuff and generally doing everything. And I've got the lovely Elle Cloak.
Hello.
Hello. One half of At We Do Social Media. Her lovely mum, Linda, is a regular on the show. And Elle is also not only going to tell us about We Do Social Media and digital marketing with Pamela, she's also on door duty, opening the studio.
My one job.
It's quite a big job. Because of the equipment, it's freezing, isn't it, in here?
Yeah.
And I sort of put my coat on, then I felt a bit restricted, so I've taken it off. But, you know, it's nipple freezing time, really.
Extra layers.
Yeah. But we'd love to hear from you, as usual. It is your show. It's not all about us girls in here. So we'd love to hear from you. Please tweet us at Jules Serkin and at VanillaWeb. Use the BBunker hashtag. And bear with me because I haven't been in the studio doing the controls for about 100 years. I've been doing it on Zoom, my little scoff and quaff. Superior show, of course. So, yeah, at the beginning there was a bit of a lull, I know, because there was something I hadn't turned on. Anyway, I'm sure VanillaWeb will be heckling merrily. So we've got quite a lot of business news that's come in and loads of Twitter. Actually, the Twitter is very, very busy. But here's a little something. Views are being sought over plans for temporary accommodation for homeless people to be built on a car park near Ashford Town Centre. And the proposed scheme would see 23 factory-produced modular homes erected on the plot on the Henwood Industrial Estate, which the local authority says is underused as a parking site. Never known an underused parking site in a town, have you girls?
No.
It's kind of, especially this time of year. Ashford Borough Council says the units, which will be a stepping stone until individuals or households who have become homeless are able to move on to more permanent accommodation. And that will save taxpayers about £5.3 million over the 60-year lifespan of the project. So it sounds like good news, and personally, I hate to see homeless. There's a lot of homeless in Canterbury, and there's people on the streets that are putting tents up and living in tents on the pavement, which I found really, really shocking. So it's good news. Any help we can give to the homeless, that's great. We will be going over to... I'm going to talk, actually, in a minute, to Pamela, first of all. Or well, shall I go? No, I think I might go to the L because she's more used to it, aren't you?
And
we'll ease Pamela in gently.
I'm becoming a regular now, I think.
Yeah, you are regular. obviously, it's the prunes. So, L, L Cloak, we do social media. You've had a busy year. I know that your mum, you left your mum and went out into the big wild world, didn't you, all on your own?
I did.
And then you came back. So how long did you last until your mum dragged you back because she needed the help?
I think maybe 2 years.
Okay.
And I tell you what, from because I had worked for someone before I joined We Do Social Media when I was 16, 17.
Yeah.
But then being your own boss and then going into employment, I found a really hard transition. I think we both needed each other at the same level, because definitely weren't used to it. But yeah, back 2 years now, I think.
Was your mum's idea, the business, wasn't it? Originally?
Yeah. Mum had an apprentice, and We Do Social Media was formed from her. Funnily enough, she's talking about that in a video that we've done for the gym recently. The whole story, which was quite fascinating. But then I came in a year and a half, 2 years later, at the fresh old age of 17. Control got to my head, as it would at that age. And I kind of took over from there. So mum/Linda could crack on with her dating agency at the time.
Oh, yeah, I remember the dating agency. Yeah. Does she still run that?
Or? No, unfortunately, COVID impacted two of her businesses, one of them being the dating agency. So... She's solidly stuck with We Do now,
and so you've got this sort of combination. You've brought Pamela in as well.
Yes.
We're going to talk to Pamela later on about what you're doing together. But who are you helping? What kind of businesses are you helping?
So as I've spoken on previous shows, we started the social media gym, which is what this year has been all in the planning, and that's an online membership for people to enhance their overall digital marketing skills, with the primary focus being social media. But social media requires good graphic design, good videos, it endorses your website and your SEO. So it was important to me to build a community where you could get the knowledge from the experts. Now, I know social media, but I don't know graphic design, I don't know SEO.
No.
So one of the big parts of the social media gym is that we have personal trainers, all local Kent businesses that are experts at what they do. So Pammy, for example, is the SEO personal trainer, and she is an SEO expert in her own field. She runs a business based on organic SEO. So people will know, okay, that's the person I can go to if I just don't want to do this myself.
Yeah.
As well as learning from a once a month video from Pammy. So every month, you don't just have on demand learning courses and workbooks and resources, but you've got the expert videos. So 11 new videos a month, which is crazy.
That's great. So people sign up for this?
Yeah, £35 a month.
Okay, that's all. No brainer. Or you've got different levels?
I want everyone to get everything.
Yeah.
So it's either £35 a month, just under 35. It's like 34.83.
98.
Yeah, it's a really random figure. Or you can pay for an annual membership. But we also offer it for free to charities and not-for-profits.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Can you tell us of any charities that you're helping?
We've had quite a few sign up. I don't know if any of them want us to know that they've signed up
yet. That's
so
fair enough. Yeah.
I wouldn't mention any of them, but there's one that is to do with animals. There's like a few charities that I just never even thought would be a charity in my wildest dreams. So I'm really glad that we can help all these local charities succeed, definitely after the past 2 years we've had.
I think social media is something we were talking off air, weren't we, with Julie, and social media is something that can go so terribly wrong if it's not done properly. We all hate typos. Personally, I hate typos. Mm-hmm. And you know that predictive text is terrible on phones, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
I told somebody once, I was telling them, they were asking about a regime that I do for my thyroid, and I said, eat protein with every meal. But it actually went out as rat protein
Goodness.
And she went, what? You know, but my, you know, the phone, if you're not careful and if you don't read things, and of course, the way that Twitter is, it's fast. It's, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
And I was doing something on Facebook the other day for Save Our Slopes, because Canterbury City Council have decided they want to build 20 beach huts on the last piece of grass there is where I live. So it's all very awful. But we've got to Save Our Slopes. Canterbury Council will build on anything, absolutely anything. on there, you know, I did a little post, and it was fairly, you know, I read it through, and then once I put it through, I read it again, and they were just silly little things. But you can edit it. But with a Twitter, with a tweet, you cannot edit
it.
Yeah, what I do is, my little trick is, I copy it and keep it on my finger, because of course it stays on there forever, and then I delete that, and then I redo it and just edit it. But I think a lot of people long for a Twitter an edit button. But when you have someone else doing your social media, how do you get into that company's head?
I mean, it's funny because we was talking about this, and it's something we're having, we have with clients all the time. It's so important to find their voice. So at the beginning, we learn a lot about the company. We'll go out of our way just to figure out who they are. Even our new employee, like, she's just figuring this out now. It just takes time and research. You've just got to go the extra mile to learn who the company and the people. That's the most important, who the people are, because it's the people that are portraying the voice. And bringing someone's voice is an accumulation of many different things. You've got the type of people, so you need to learn about the standards and the morals of the company, the people they're working with. It's not one thing that can just be done in a day. It will happen over time. So from a management perspective, we say you've got to give it a few months for us to learn who you are, because you're going to see a few posts, you might say, right, this isn't us, but this definitely is. And you just got to trial and error.
It's also about the age of the company, isn't it, and how long they, you know, like, you know, young people speak in a totally different way to an old dragon like me, you know. So
You are right, though. That's why it's so good that mum's with us,
because she's not an old dragon, though.
She's an old butterfly.
She's a butterfly girl. But you know, my pet hate is awesome. I absolutely hate the way
I say awesome all the time.
Yeah, well, you are my pet hate, then, because it's just like overdone. And you know, to me, as I say to Paul Andrews, I drive him nuts on it every week, but to me it's going to the moon. That's awesome. But you know, having a cake is not awesome. And, you know, and it is an American thing, and you know, and I like language, and I like use of different words. And look at Paul. So, you know, his use of stonking. Julie, you've been on the show long enough. He is famous for the word stonking.
Yeah.
I love the word stonking. Everybody loves the word stonking, but it's original to him. That's the difference. Whereas for me, awesome is just American cloning that we pick up from telly.
But this is what kids are doing now, isn't it? They're all watching American TV, and
they're saying
victim of it myself.
They are saying got it.
There's so many words, even like British, and I do this, pants, when it's trousers.
You don't know?
I have many a times, and then someone's like, you just said pants, and I'm like, you know what I mean?
I would think that's
it's
knickers.
So easily done. I wouldn't do it if I was typing, but I do when I talk, and but it's just, it's taken that time to learn. We have with a client, what do you not want us to do?
How long is the list?
And sometimes it's like, don't use word fillers. Like, oh, it was so amazing seeing this. Just put, you know, good to see this. So everyone is different, aren't they? And
I always remember my English teacher, Mr. Wells. I was about 10 or 11, and he was a really, really good English teacher. And we weren't even allowed to write in essays good, you know, just things like that. We always had to look for different words, you know, like pleasant or, I don't know, interesting, or, you know. But language has evolved and changed, and I get that.
It's lazy. It's lazy now.
Yeah. But I think, we need to look at the company we're working for and the ethics and perhaps the age of them.
Maybe. No, I agree. That's what I mean. It's all about the people.
Yeah, and it takes time, doesn't it?
So
you want a good run-in with your businesses so that you can get to know them and understand. Do they suggest hashtags? Do you suggest hashtags?
We like to know what their keywords for their website are. Mm. So it's coinciding with their other marketing efforts. Mm. If they have a marketing plan, then I'm like, oh, you're amazing. Because I strip some information from there. So it's all aligned with one another. If not, then I'll do some keyword research myself from what Pamela has taught me. And then I take it from there. And then I do my own hashtag research on what hashtags work best, and sometimes on what days they might work better, but it all depends on the company. So even if I couldn't even give you a set answer, because one company might be different to another.
That's right. And of course, if it's a global company, when we work with a lot of companies in Africa, and the time span is fairly similar to the UK. Mm-hmm. But if we're working in the States, for example, you know, we'll get have to put posts out at various times. But I noticed in the week, I notice I get a lot of traction on Twitter at sort of 10 o'clock at night and things, which quite shocks me. And sometimes LinkedIn on a Friday evening, and I think, go out. What are you doing on LinkedIn, you know? So it's quite interesting, isn't it?
It is. I love the psychology behind social media and marketing as a whole. It's so interesting. I can see Pammy nodding like, it really is.
She's champing at the bit. Should we bring her in?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So Pamela Angley, with your beautiful Irish accent.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, I just love the accent, as you know, and I've been swooning. So tell us how you two met, first of all.
Oh, I can't really remember. I definitely met Linda first.
Yes, you met Mum at FSB, I think.
I did, and I will never forget, and I guess anyone who knows Linda Cloak, I was brand new kid on the scene in my first networking, so I've been in this country 5 years.
Where were you born?
I am from Limerick in Southwest Ireland.
How beautiful, yeah.
Yeah, so it's about an hour from Cork. And yeah, I'm in business now 3 years on my own, and met Linda at one of my first networking, and she took me under her wing, and I've never forgotten that.
And it's a lovely wing.
It's a lovely wing. Yeah. And she, as I said, anyone who knows Linda, she's just helpful to everybody and full of great advice. And then got to know the business, and through other networking got to know Elle when she was involved, and it goes from there. And we mutually, I mean, I think all digital. I like Kent because it's not competition. Everyone can mutually work together. We all have different aspects we can input, and it's great. There's plenty of work for everybody, so there's no need for fierce competition. And a lot of businesses in Kent have embraced that we can work really well together.
So you two met, and what did you have? Some sort of amazing discussion?
Just love at first sight, I think.
An awesome, awesome discussion. And what were you doing at the time? Were you working on your own?
Yes, so I worked for a company doing digital marketing when I first came here.
Right, what was the company? What can't you mention?
I absolutely will, because they've been very good to me, and they're still a client of mine now. It's Earl Street Employment Consultants. So they're around 45 years. They're on Earl Street in Maidstone. They were, again, other people who took me under their wing, and got to 2 years working with them, I believe. I mutually decided it was time to branch out on my own, and have been very fortunate that they have stayed on as my clients. But when I went out with the digital agency, soon realised I am one person. Mm. There's only so much I can do by myself.
Little wrist ache.
Exactly. So I honed in on specialising on my love, which is SEO. And to me, all digital should lead to your Google rankings, in a nutshell, is what SEO is. We won't get bogged down with jargon. It's where you appear on Google or search engines. And it ties in very, very well with social media. So this is where we had a lot of discussions. I like organic SEO, which means not it means not paying the large Google AdWord feeds or pay-per-click. A lot of people are doing the organic themselves.
with your business, if you even have presence on social media, pardon me, you're completing a part of organic SEO. If you're posting on your website or updating content or doing a blog, that's organic SEO. What I do is pull it all together to make sure the correct keywords are in place digitally behind the website, and then advise on all the rest of the other pieces to the puzzle, I like to say. But SEO and social media definitely go hand in hand. They're two very powerful tools to rank on Google.
So what you've done is you've honed in on your skills and what you love about your job and your work, which makes it, I always think, don't you, that when you bring in what your passion is, that's when you excel.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And Elle, you've grabbed Pamela.
Yep.
So how has this changed, and what are you doing together? What are you offering your clients?
So it's not necessarily, we refer to each other anyway, but within the social media gym is where we work together predominantly. So Pammy kindly offers her services for free to educate the members in the social media gym, which is so kind. Then if any members have any questions, providing they're not taking the what's it and asking loads of questions, then Pammy will help them out free of charge. And then we hope that will then work out as a good, solid relationship, that if they needed further advice in the future, that Pammy would end up getting some work out of it, but also the client, the member benefits, because they're getting all this knowledge for £35 a month.
Absolutely. I do find some people really are scared of SEO because it's just a jargon word.
Yeah.
It is basically Google. And so I do like to help people to unravel that they're not as far away from it as they think they are. So it's a great help. I love being part of it and just to get people on track. And that's why I'm doing what I do, it's to enhance businesses.
So you're covering LinkedIn. Tell us what you're covering. LinkedIn, Facebook?
So for me, what I provide is LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, anything around social media that isn't paid advertising. And then we have Joe from Clockwork Moggy. He's our advertising personal trainer. We have a mindset and a well-being personal trainer, because as much as we love online, we need to be offline as well, and we need to manage our mindset and our well-being throughout our journeys. So we have them on there. We have Ali Hollins and Richard Turner, who you met, Richard Turner. We have more people, and I can't remember who. We have Paul Woodger, graphic designer.
Yes, Graham.
Oh, Graham Baker, he's a photographer. David Proud, videographer. So you've got each expert covering their own expertise, and then I provide resources around social media, like time management. We have a VA on there as well, covering time management and productivity. And that's where Pammy and the other PTs come in, and they're providing their expertise.
So, Julie, you were talking about, we won't mention any names, but social media, and you'd actually used a company. So this is Julie Anderson. And tell us how that was for you, without mentioning any names.
Well, we do our social media in-house, and we've got a little team in our marketing department. And, of course, like we were talking earlier, you go round and round suddenly thinking, are you doing everything that you should be doing? Should you be doing it better? And so we tried to outsource it very recently. And despite the good sales pitch, the language that was being used and the amount of typos that were going out in the posts and broken links, was suddenly then we're managing something that we should be paying for and being able to sit back a bit. So we tried it for a couple of months, but it didn't work for us. We then realised that we're not too bad at it ourselves.
Yeah.
So we bought it back, and our team, they do love doing what they're doing. I think where maybe our weakness is Instagram. So
why is it a weakness? Because
we don't really know what it's about.
But you have amazing visuals.
Yeah, we do. We don't quite understand the difference between a post and a story.
Okay, so let's bring Elle in and see what she tells you. A little bit of free advice, because
I love Instagram.
I know that Paul and I, for example, we struggle with the Business Bunker and with Scoff and Quaff, mainly Twitter and Facebook, of course. We put it on, and we put it on LinkedIn, and we put it on Instagram. But I find for me that Instagram, apart from the beautiful visuals, is just very shouty. To me, it's just hashtag, hashtag, hashtag. Yeah.
That's funny because I think the complete opposite.
And yet Twitter, I have these huge conversations. I make appointments for my new husband at G Circuit on the Twitter. He advises the United Nations and he's a bigwig. I make appointments for him as DMs on Twitter with these huge, you know, sort of conglomerate people all around the world, you know, these CEOs of amazing companies. I can't imagine myself doing that on Instagram. So tell me, tell Julie as well.
Yeah. So Instagram is actually very similar to Twitter. It's just got that visual aspect.
The only difference, it's very shouty.
It's just how you perceive it. And right. I get why. And I probably would say I used to be one of those people as well. Okay, so I got two cats. And what do you do when you get an animal? You set up an Instagram account. And that is what I did. And I actually found a whole community of Tonkinese owners. And it was just,
hang on, your cat is Tonkinese, cat? I take it.
Tonkinese cats,
or is
yeah.
They're
called Tonkinese. So they're a mix of Siamese and Burmese.
I love a Siamese. We used to have, we had two, Charlie Brown and...
I love
what
that.
Was it? Charlie Brown and Eric.
Ah.
And when my little girl was, she's now 32, but when Sydney was young, they used to snuggle up in bed with their head on the pillow and everything. Really,
yeah, Tinker does that. I sound so sad, but he spoons me. He's so cute. Anywho.
Remembering it's a business show.
So I set up this little Instagram account and the community I found was unbelievable. And I knew social media was such a brilliant place for communities, but I didn't realise it was so strong on this level on Instagram. I thought it was more of a Facebook or LinkedIn, depending on what you want, Twitter included. But yeah, so I delve into this even more and I started seeing there's more communities. Even interior design is a whole community in itself. And like niches inside that, like sustainable interior design, all sorts. So, I mean, just to tell you the difference between like a post and a story, you were saying about Twitter being a very live feed, so you post as and when. That's kind of what a story is. So it lasts for 24 hours and people can click onto your story to see it. And I'll show you the visuals after.
Live. It's here and now, I mean.
Well, you can give the here and now, but it doesn't come up like a live. So you can actually do Instagram lives as well, which is the here and now. And I could be doing a video right now for people to see live. But an Instagram story, you can just film a little video to show everyone where you're at this time. But you can edit it or you can say, oh, that's a bit rubbish. I'll take it away. I will show you because it's so much easier to just show you visually what a story is.
It's always changing.
How would you advise companies to...
This is Julie.
How would you advise companies to sort of have a controlled strategy? Because it's really easy to suddenly feel like you're a spider with a million legs.
So you need to look at your business strategy first. Mm. What do you want to achieve as a big business? Then you want to think, okay, so marketing isn't just social media, is it? You've got to have a lot more initiatives. For example,
and great visuals.
You do definitely. You need to catch people's eyes. But you might have a completely different initiative, like we have a book club, but that's one of our marketing initiatives. Okay, so there's one initiative. The other initiatives that we want to, where we want to make more sales for offices, then we need to be posting leaflets to offices. And okay, well, in line with that, we also want to grow our brand exposure. So the more you've got to like level down and you say, right, okay, brand exposure is what I want to achieve, then I need to be posting in the different places that we're doing offices for. We need to show more examples of offices. So when you know your overall business goal, you come down to mini goals that help you decide what you need to do with your social media.
I like the fact of a mini goal. That's great. In chunks.
Yes.
Bite size.
You have got to chunk it out.
Yeah.
For sure.
Let's chunk it out.
Yeah, I'll show you. I'll show you more visuals after.
It's crazy, I think, like what the world's turned into. We're now so, everything's got to be on social.
Exactly.
As well as your... running your finances as well as your
website.
Actually, that's before you even do the services. Yeah. What we actually do. There's
exactly.
So many strings.
Networking.
Got to,
accounts. Networking, yeah. It is a mind,
so a lot,
mind blowing.
It
is.
When people start out their own businesses, I should think they think, I'm just going to go out and sell yeah. cameras or whatever. But it's not just about that. It's about website, accounts.
Well, this goes back to being a tradesman. The yeah. tradesmen I know, they do a brilliant job. And you'll know this from what you do, Julie. But they have to do their accounts. They have to do come round and quote. Mm. I had a guy that quoted for me for a stained glass window in March. And I'm still waiting, and I've chosen the colours, and he, wow. and I've texted him, and I met somebody else the other day, and she said the same. She commissioned him in April, so it's all very well, but he's taken on too much work. And then a couple of gardeners that you know came round, then they phoned me, agreed to come round in 2 weeks. Never saw them. Never.
Steel Strait is really pressured at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that's why you outsource, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you can do what yes. you set up your business to do.
Yeah. Pamela, so come back to you and yes. carry on with what you were telling us.
Oh, well, I'll stay with SEO on the lines of, seeing as Elle was talking to you, Julie, about Instagram, where I feel strongly would be your hashtags as well, which can also fall in line with SEO. And Elle is definitely on the right line by saying, she would like to know your marketing keywords or your search terms that you ideally would be targeting. That's very relevant for Instagram as well, and it can open up the world for your posts to be viewed. Also, Google has a big preference for social media platforms now, so if you're performing well on each of those platforms, as an example, Instagram and Facebook, because Google has shares in Facebook, Facebook owns Instagram, it's all one monopoly. So if you can do well with posts on those, you will appear on Google. So that's another side that people don't realise with SEO.
The analytics and stuff, yeah.
Absolutely. There's algorithms with Google, I'm not going to bog you down with too much jargon, but every quarter they release basically criteria of what
I just
Google
hate
wants.
The word algorithm.
Immediately,
immediately I panic. See, she's just a boffin, isn't she? Come on,
she knows her stuff.
Tell us about an algorithm.
I won't bog you down with the jargon. Basically, every quarter...
There are going to be listeners that are going to love this. You do know that. So don't go by what I want
to I go
learn.
So nerdy.
You need to say about the pop-ups.
Bring
that
out,
surprised me.
Pamela, bring out your inner nerd, because we want to hear
I
it.
I love it. So these algorithms are basically Google's criteria and what they expect from your website and what will help you rank organically. And one of the massive ones is a good user experience on your website, which so all the other things people look at, they forget that Google just wants somebody to be on your website, find what they're looking for with ease, have contact details, and that's it. But they do bring other elements into it. So we'll use the pop-ups as an example. What they have initiated, so these algorithms every quarter, they'll also say, this is what we don't like anymore, and this is what you need to stop doing on your website. So pop-ups has been a massive one, which I absolutely love that they're doing. That's my sentiments exactly.
Yeah.
So they're going to start penalising, and they've rolled out this algorithm in the autumn. So by this new year, they're going to start being tough on businesses that still have a lot of pop-ups. There is nothing more irritating than clicking on a website and having to X down all these pop-ups before you can find what you're looking for.
Yeah.
And regardless of Google saying that's a no, you could potentially be losing customers, because I don't have patience to stay on a website where I have to keep Xing down these pop-ups. So that's a big no now from Google, and you will notice a drop in rankings if you're still doing it.
One pinged at me the other day, and then I closed off. I said, this is not allowed.
It's so aggressive. And then you know, you might just X one down, and then you have a chat bot saying, how can we help you? And it's, you know what?
Too much.
It's down to we do not like being sold to anymore. We do not. We are the consumers, and it is our market now. And that's what Google is very mindful of. So as much as people do think it's very hard to strike the balance with Google, I do think it's very fair. And it's really looking after people and what they're looking for on a website.
We're going to play a little tune now. And you know, Paul Andrews was up all night thinking of this, Julie.
Was he dancing?
Yeah, it's a bit of cheesy tunes, you know. It's what he's good at. I don't think he was dancing, though. But see if you can guess what this is and what its significance is. If I can get it to play. Come on, you do this. Right, let's do it this way.
Wrap me up.
See if you can guess, Julie.
With love and hold me.
I was up all night thinking of this.
Wrap me up with your love and hold it.
back with the Business Bunker. That was Wrap Me Up by Alex Party, especially for Julie Anderson and, of course, Rick, who I know is beavering away there, and the team at Wrap Interiors in the studio with me, Jill Serkin. Little Paul Andrews is at home lolling around and probably, you know, filing his nails or something. But he'll be back next week. When I shall heckle him, of course. So the guest today in the studio, we've got Pamela Angerley from Angerley Digital M. You'll find her on the Twitter. And we've got, of course, Elle Cloak, who's a regular on the show. We do social media. And beautiful Julie Anderson at Wrap Interiors. I think there's an underscore between the Wrap Interiors, isn't there?
There is.
There is a lovely little underscore. And we're talking about all things digi and the social media gym. Pamela is our resident geek today. She's talking about SEO in particular. But I have to say a few hellos because the Twitter's been bananas and bonkers. So big shout out for Sian Murphy. You will find her on Sian, S-I-A-N-A Murphy. That sounds like a little Irish person to me there. She's saying, hi, Paul Andrews and Jules. Strood Academy have a Christmas fair. And this is on... it's going to be at 10 a.m. on Saturday, the 18th of December. It's for Kent and Medway small businesses. So there's going to be lots of lovely stalls. This is my passion. I do love a Christmas fair, as long as it's not spelt with a Y, which gets on my game. If it's a fair, I'm not too keen. But I do like a fair, F-A-I-R. Kent and Medway small businesses. There's free entry, which we all love, unique gifts, so they'll all be made by local producers, I'm guessing. There's a cafe and there's beauty bits as well, they say. If you're looking on the sat nav, it's M for mother, E2, 2, S for sugar, X. So that's from Sian Murphy, who's also a presenter on the Channel Radio. And Michael Park Surveyors, hello to you, team. You'll find them on at MPSL, Mother Percy Sugar Lima, Chartered Surveyors, and they're also, of course, property consultants. Big hello to you guys, and I know your social media lady often is in Cape Town sunning herself. Then we've got Martin Reeves, Collector's Buddy, and that brings us nicely into Pamela, who has a little, I think you've got an email from Martin. Now, Martin is a regular.
I actually was starting with... James Propmaker here. So we have a request
James. Yes.
And he is trying to save Metal Mickey from being scrapped.
Who remembers Metal Mickey?
He is a 5 foot tall robot, as well as the name of a spin off television show. So what James is asking, and you can find his Twitter handle is at James Propmaker. He's just trying to spread awareness with using the hashtag Save Metal Mickey. If you have any ideas, if you want to try and save Metal Mickey, have a chat with James at James Propmaker.
I love having a little Irish presenter.
That was really good, wasn't it?
Yeah. I'm there already in Kill. Where were you? Kilpatrick or Kill? Where were you born?
Oh, Limerick. Limerick.
You knew what I meant. I'm there with a little Guinness and, you know.
We love our stories.
You do. What else have you got?
I also have...
You have to work in this studio.
Oh, that's okay. I've no problem doing that. We Irish love talking. From Maidstone Borough Council. So they're very sad to see the end of Park and Ride, you may have heard.
Oh, they're finishing it. Why are they finishing it?
So it has been heavily hit by COVID-19 and it saw passenger numbers very, very much reduced. So unfortunately, they have said goodbye to it, and the chairman of the Strategic Planning and Infrastructure, Councillor Paul Cooper, said, "We are very disappointed that Arriva will no longer provide us with the service. However, we do understand that it has been a very difficult time."
I have to say, ladies, that where I live, we have a bus that goes at the bottom of our garden. Not in our garden, but you know what I mean, on the road. And of course, there have been double-decker buses going along with like one person on, and that's just the driver. And I have wondered whether... How difficult, I wonder if DG East might know, but how difficult it would be to recycle some of these big double deckers and bring in a smaller coach, you know, like the just a single decker thing. Because it does seem a bit mad, and I'm sure it must use much more fuel, although I suppose a lot of them are biofuel. I don't know. We need a man in the studio to tell us about that. Mm. You know, cooking oil, or they run on, don't they now, and things. But have you noticed that with the buses?
Well, yeah, but what's worrying me is if they're doing away with park and ride, what they're going to do with those sites?
Oh, yeah.
Is that all development now?
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Well, this that is would be in Moat Park.
Well, this is what they're doing. The council are just building
well,
everywhere.
They build on a postage stamp now.
Yeah, and they're building on Tankerton Slopes. They're building. I mustn't talk about it because I'll get very eggy. But building, and of course, building has a knock-on effect because then there's more traffic. Mm. Sewage. We've had sewage where we live in the rivers and in the sea.
Yeah, that's what we've been having.
And as they build more houses, there's more concrete, so the runoff is bad. Mm. They're also building in places that they shouldn't. That that will get
a lot of green space
flooded. And the worst thing is they're building on, prime farmland, and we need our food.
This is the thing, as an Irish person coming here to Kent, that I loved here, or obviously still do love, are the bits of green.
Yeah.
And it'd be very, very sad to see that done away with.
Kentish food as
it's
well.
It's the Garden of England for a reason, so I would be very sad to see all the green spaces go here, definitely.
I think we need to get back to business because otherwise Paul Andrew's going to be jumping up and down if I start talking about food or farmland, but that is another show. So let's bring you two back. What are your plans? What has this year been like for both of you? Did you have a really bad lull or did you just keep going or what happened? As we near the end of the year.
I think maybe many businesses have found themselves in this position. I've been fortunate and because I am digital and I worked online and from home anyway. So it didn't have a massive impact in that area. I did lose a few clients at the start, but I haven't had a proper holiday.
Okay.
So I have kept going. Just, I guess, a lot of people found themselves in this situation that you don't want to stop because we just are so uncertain right now about what's going to happen next. So I have kept going. It's been strange for me and everybody, I think. And we find ourselves back in this lull again. So it's just waiting for 2022 is our year.
Yeah.
It's got to be.
That's what I keep saying.
So, Elle, what about you? Have you found that businesses are worried, frightened, or are they gung-ho and just ploughing on?
I think even with digital marketing, for us, it's exactly the same as what Pam said, where we've had a lull, but we have come up because of the industry that we're in, and fortunate enough so, but there's been external factors. So even just the economic climate will affect future circumstances, which is why we're emergency planning almost as a business for different things to arise. And that's what our year's been about. Unfortunately, things have impacted different businesses, but we have
especially
been
hospitality, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw a tweet going back to my love of Twitter. The Good Shed, who's my local, one of my locals, Susanna, who owns it, beautiful place in Canterbury. And last Saturday, she had a cancellation for 22 covers in the morning.
Wow.
So you've got all the food in and stuff like that. Hospitality, I think, has been very, very affected, and mainly because they just don't know what's happening, do they?
No.
What about, we'll be talking to Julie Anderson in the second half of the show after the news, and we'll be hearing about how she's coped. But are you finding that people are feeling stressed now after it's been 2 years, isn't it, almost?
I don't know. I feel like people are relaxing a bit now. People are opening up to the idea more of they've realised that digital marketing is an asset and it can't be looked at the same way as it was before pre-COVID. So I know that things are going to turn around for all businesses in 2022. It's just about educating yourself and us service providers educating people how to do something effectively to level up their business. It's just all education and knowledge. I think people need to take every opportunity they get to learn as much as they can.
And I suppose the thing about digital marketing is that you can do it from anywhere. At the moment, we're being told not to work in offices, not to be in huge groups. Again, I know a lot of Christmas parties have been cancelled, like big gatherings have been cancelled, and people are scaling them down or doing other things. And I mean, we've certainly been al fresco a lot more, haven't we? But the beauty of digital marketing is that you can do it from anywhere.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hot desking. My son has been told not to go into his office in London, and he's going to hot desking, Fruitworks.
Yes.
But in London, because he just needs that different. It can't just be in a one-bedroom flat. all the time. He was going bonkers.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. We're Mum and I are joining the Hive at Edenwood, which is where I think it's Kit's Coty used to be on Bluebell Hill. It's just so we're not in the house 24/7 because you need that escape. It can be really drowning as a business owner, and it's just you or just you and your mum. It's so easy to get in your own head.
Your mum and the biscuit tin.
Oh yeah, the tea.
It is hard, isn't it? Because I think when you're going out, especially I think for guys as well, for blokes as well, if you're going out all the time, then you're making, even when I do something at home, I always put on a bit of BB cream, and I always put on a bit of blusher or something, but I don't make that huge effort. So I might be in my sports bra but when you're going out, it's just that different thing. You're putting on a pair of jeans. Can you still squeeze into them, and that is the thing at being at home. We're not naturally, we are creatures, we need mates and friends and going out and networking, I've really missed networking. And even doing my show, the Scoff and Quaff, the superior show, Paul Andrews, even doing that on Zoom is never the same. So it's an hour show. In the studio, it goes really, really fast because you've got a face. You have a bit of banter. Even though I use the video on Zoom, it's not the same. It cannot be the same. We're creatures of, what are we? We're creatures that need
people.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd miss networking, and I used to be a networking queen. But in COVID, I was like, thank God for that. I haven't got to go out. I can stay in my sloppies all day. And then once we were out, I was like desperate to meet people.
So
and
nice.
I actually realised the people that I do class as my work friends, not just in the office, but, in the construction industry, you get a massive family of people. And we just realised how much we all need each other.
I had some friends round the other day, just impromptu, and we've been keeping ourselves to ourselves because I'm only one jabbed and my mum's 91. And we had some friends round, and they popped in about four-ish. It was actually Graham Green of Chives Caterers and Debbie. Green Herring Catering, I think they might be now. I lose track. But they're amazing. I mean, Best Chef, and does all the used to do all the huge conferences that we had and weddings and events. And they popped in, and I cracked open a little bottle, as you do. And they left probably about 9 o'clock at night. So it was quite an intense session. And when they went, I was knackered. And I said to my new husband, I'm not used to having people in. It's just strange. You're getting crisps and nuts. And it was just, it was lovely. And I need to do it more, but I'm out of practice. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yes, 9 definitely. O'clock seems to be the time now. That's enough now. We're used to going to bed early, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, and it's the human interaction we're not used to, I don't think, as well.
Hugging.
I'm a massive hugger, but just having to talk to people. It's like going home. I was woke up for a 6:30 meeting, and I was ready to go to bed at 10 a.m. Mm.
Yeah. Well, and you're only a baby.
Yeah, I am.
So let's bring it back. I want some top tips from you. So if you're a new business and you're listening in and you need to have some help with your digital marketing, I'm giving you a little heads up here. What's your top tip? Shall we ask Elle first?
Okay, I'm going to keep it social media based, I think.
Yeah.
Don't jump on all social media platforms. That's the biggest one for startups.
Because you'll be exhausted.
Yeah, they won't know what's hit them, and down the line it'll just affect the business. Engage, so actually talk to local businesses, and I would say follow.
Can you do
hashtags.
That on Instagram?
Yes.
Can you engage?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. If not, more so.
Okay, so I need some lessons because I find if I like something or something, I can send little emoji heart things or wow things or whatever, but I can't really engage on there. I can't even put
a
website
Sharing a post, that's what you can share a post onto your stories, and that's another way of engaging with people on social media through Instagram. I do find you can really build some good connections. The only thing you won't know is if they're on that platform as well, so you need to make sure you're engaging on the right platforms with the right people. There's no point engaging with someone that's not going to engage back with you.
And on Twitter, how many hashtags are you advising?
3 to 4.
Okay, and then it goes bananas on Instagram. I mean, so many hashtags.
Yeah, but it's just if people use them in their sentences, like hashtag hi, hashtag I'm, hashtag L. I put them at the bottom of my post, and again, there's been debates recently on how many hashtags, like Instagram actually brought out something saying, well, between 7 and 9, I think it was, and well, people are going, well, why have up to 30 then if you're saying that I should only have 7 or 9? Again, it's experimenting, and it's not how many, it's what hashtags that you're using.
I think, I think that's what I find a bit shouty with all the hashtags.
Yes.
And I don't find that. So after the news, you're listening to The Business Bunker, in case you've just tuned in, with me, Jill Serkin. After the news, we're going to be chatting more about small businesses and big businesses around the UK, or global, if you're listening in from abroad. We have a lot of American listeners, I know. And then we're going to be talking to Julie Anderson about what she's been up to all this year with Wrap Interiors. There's an underscore there, so it's RAP Interiors with an underscore in the middle. And we'll come back with the girls as well, Pamela Angley of Angley Digital M for Mother, and Elle Cloak, We Do Social Media. And we'll be talking more. And we'll also be hearing from the FSB with a famous uninterrupted news roundup. And more of your tweets, so keep them coming in. It's at Jules Serkin and at VanillaWeb, so we'd love to hear from you. Please use the BBunker hashtag, and we'll hear you. But we really want to know what you've been doing as we round up the year, and what your thoughts are about next year. You know, are you excited? And I am. I mean, I can't wait for turkey and Christmas.
Oh, yes.
And a little noggin under the tree or two. So one top tip before we go to the news.
Oh,
Pamela.
Importantly, next year, Google are going to be looking at, they have been looking at your mobile website, and that your website is compatible on mobile. They are bringing it back down to desktop again next year. So really do make sure your website looks good on a desktop, so both have to be compatible to tick Google's criteria.
I think they just like moving the goalposts.
They do.
They love keeping us on our toes. They definitely do. They do. They do. So that's one tip for next year.
Another one?
SEO. Another one, again, with your website.
I'm getting my money's worth.
No, that's fine. No, I'm happy to give tips. On your website, make sure that it's more than just a business card. I think people spend so much money on their website. Make sure it is SEO compatible, that you have your keywords in there, have someone look over it. Otherwise, you've spent a lot of money on a fancy business card.
I think you're right about the pop-ups and that, and there's nothing worse than going on a website that's not user-friendly.
Very bad, yes.
A bit like trying to get my lateral flow test from the NHS, actually. Because,
I've heard this today.
I'll tell you this afternoon, after the news, what it was like for me. It was not user-friendly, and that's another thing. Just one more thing before we go to the news. Remember that our sponsor is the lovely DG East, and they would love to hear from you. 3ws.dgeast.co.uk, and they are suppliers of cars and light commercial vehicles, utilising a majority of the UK-based leasing operator services. So they'll give you loads of advice about independent news and everything else that you need. And I mean, there's so much choice at the moment. We don't know what to do with electric cars. We're going to go up to the news in a minute, so I'm just going to play a couple of little ads, really.
The Business Bunker